Welcome to the only podcast that shares the astronomical and mathematical positions of the heavenly bodies. This is Sky Astrology. No, not astrology. This is Sky Astrology via astronomy. This is episode 390 something because I've lost track. This is a podcast that I am sharing to those of you who are not in the Sky Astrology community as an invitation that you join us in the community only if you feel called, if you are ready to wake up to what's in plain sight, because awakening from sleep is maybe the first step. And then the second step is wondering, are you dreaming? Or is this the dream? So today I am hosting a Zoom gathering. Have to admit, I'm a bit nervous. But I have to, of course, get over this because I have a lot to say. I've been, you know, deep in research, deep in intent to share what I know, what I feel more confident every day is a perspective that really shares clarity. And clarity in these times is a very important commodity. And speaking of commodities that are not monetary, is quite impactful and also very necessary. So the basis of Sky Astrology is a little intro before you come to the Zoom gathering, if you're coming, and this is a little refresher for those of you who are in our Sky Astrology Almanac community, where there is a daily podcast every day, is that it is putting two words together that very often have been put together with at least one of those words, and that's ology, right? So there's biology, astrology, Satoology, believe it or not. There's so many ologies right out there. And so what does that mean? It is, you know, a study, a branch of knowledge. What do we do when we want to study something, when we want to understand what it means? And it's coming from Latin and French, logy, really logic, like to make sense of something. So when you want to make sense of organic, something that is biology, because it's one word now, so you don't even think of it meaning, living things. Example of like a biography. So it is about living things, so the study of living things, right? Which is great because Sky Astrology uses biodynamic ideas to understand the sky. So skyology is the study of our sky. And what is our sky? You know, it's so funny because when I found that out, the origins come from the word cloud, and I could have just literally fell over because I did not know that before. My nickname, Cloudette. Allow me to introduce myself. This is so much easier to do than when I'm trying to do the technical things at the same time. So my name is Claudette. And I'm known as Chapeau Claudette and also AKA Claudette because I was making hats since the 80s. Quite a long time. And that was a gift that was given to me that I was blessed to be able to find and to enjoy and make a lot of people happy with a particular expression, or I used to call them sculptures, on their heads that really match their personality, like the quirkiness, the angles. I really love people. I love people's faces, you know, the more variety of faces I get to see, the more happy I was. And I did that for a very long time. I did that in Germany and I did that in England. I even did that a little bit of that in Egypt. And so, yeah, you know, when COVID hit, I still had my hat studio, was struggling to do it. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, resistance. A part of me was the resistance because I, in the intern of changing what I wanted to do with hats, because, you know, there's a long story from making special hats and then doing mass production for Topshop, where it felt like mass production, and traveling and, you know, kind of leading this life that I thought was successful, and then waking up at the death of my fiance, realizing what was important, and then throwing that kind of all away and not wanting to be part of that rat race, and just said, I have my workshop boutique, I'm going to stay there and I'm going to make hats one by one, because that's what I like to do. I don't want to do like making, you know, production for a company where I just ended up, exhausted and out and without a life. So that's like the summary of that. What did happen, instead of, I remember sitting in the studio at night and having time and slowing down, was that I was listening to YouTube in the background, and I started listening to David Icke, I started listening to Dolores Cannon, and things started clicking, and I was just fascinated, and I was doing more listening than actually keeping busy making hats or doing things. And then my mother became ill in America, and then I had to drop everything and go home, and that kind of interrupted that part of my life. I wasn't in my studio anymore, and it didn't make sense to keep it because I was literally running back to America every few months to rescue my mother, who did not want to believe she was having dementia, that it was starting, and I had to get her assessed. So long story short, I ended up moving my studio and all my stuff, my 30 years of hat making stuff, into my flat, then with my mother into my flat as well, which was at the top of the building, and I would go very often, almost every day, if it was raining, if it wasn't raining, to see the clouds and to take pictures that I used my fiance who passed. He left me his cameras, and I felt called to take pictures of clouds. Yeah, so I started taking pictures of clouds and just wondering about life, as you do when you wake up. It was around 2011, 2012. And to make another long story short, I wrote a book about clouds called So Sorry I'm Tardy, which I felt that I was the receiver of information that was coming down, because it's just magical how the story came together for children. And it really is about, the soul. The first sentence says, once upon a time, I was a very tiny baby soul living a cloud life in the belly of a rainbow. And this rainbow was a photograph from my roof that came out very often in London after the rain, when the sun would come out, because, you know, it can rain and then the sun comes out and then it rains again and whatever. So, and one friend who I showed the book to, actually the person that I came to Europe with, he immediately said, oh, you should call yourself Cloudette. Like, and I was like, oh my God, yeah, I didn't even know that's a name. And yeah, the A became an O, and I was, you know, I took that on board, and I found there was a book called Cloud Out about a little cloud. It kind of reminded me of myself, not that I'm little, but yeah, I have this kind of childlike personality to be, so my mother says. I never grew up. Anyway, so to get on with why I'm telling you this, because these are the things, I don't want to be like this typical kind of Zoom gathering. I want you to know who I am, because I really want to focus on the information that I want to share. And the basis of sky astrology is about the sky, and the sky etymology is the word cloud. Go reckon. So I did not know that before I came up with the name sky astrology and registered it, and started to, you know, kind of pull everything together. My 30 years of following astrology, which means star study, the study of stars, because it comes from astra, which means star, right? Because at the time that was, people started using that word, or was created, they called the planets wandering stars. And so they were studying the wandering stars, they were studying the fixed stars, everything all star. But it was about the stars in the sky. Now this is back, there's a Greek sky, and there's a Chinese sky, and there's the modern skies, and they all are a bit different. But what doesn't differ is, of course, the placement of our sun. Our sun is there, you know, across the board. And depending on the perspectives that you have from Earth, our ancestors created a celestial language. When I would believe more so than now was less interference with their connection to the sky. And because it was born out of, to live in tangent with nature, to be able to fish before fishing farms were created, to be able to plant organically before pesticides were created and our GMOs, to be able to have and to be able to travel by boat before airplanes were invented. So all these origins of our life, our natural life, have been connected to what our ancestors saw in the sky, right? In the sky, the whole sky. And so sky astrology is an opportunity to connect to the origin of that, and not just kind of borrow from astrology, because this development of astrology has a whole kind of energy in it of its own that is based on what people want it to be based on, and different interpretations over the years, and also the fact that now it's very much a business. And so I didn't intend to divorce myself from astrology when I discovered that it wasn't mathematically correct, but I was shocked and surprised that Western astrologers were not interested in what is happening in the sky. And so we are, that brings us to another awareness, right? That is another awareness when we know what's happening in the sky, right? What is powerful is our realization that there is a connection between what we have in our facility, within our soul, or within how our mind works, or in our hearts, with with the sky. So I have a clip from David Icke, a little bit of that I want to play, because he actually talks about that and talks about, you know, the connection between how to extend beyond the five sense reality, which a lot has to do with the holographic universe. But the holographic universe is just like the double slit experience. This is pure science. You know, this is matter doesn't exist unless there is an observer, and you and we are the observer. And that's where it is about being empowered by remembering that in every single moment. Just in that power alone is quite impactful, I believe. So I'll be back, and I'm going to be playing some music. It's a little bit similar to the music I am going to play, just a little bit of it today when you come into the call, and also because I'm recording this for my dear community. We always have music in our call. So that is that for the moment. I'll be right back after.
Known eventually as the Fermi paradox, which was a simple question: why, when you look out into the night sky and you see all those lights, and that's just a tiny fraction, we are told, of reality, of the universe, Why aren't there aliens everywhere? Why aren't there more visitations? Why aren't we interacting with them? Where are they? But that comes to another question. If you were creating a simulation to control people by getting them to think that their simulation is a real reality, then you don't want other life forms interacting with your humanity to tell them what's going on and what reality is really like. You don't want that. And this brings me to something else, which is, I look at the night sky. What is it? Is it a natural phenomenon, or is it a holographic projection which we're decoding? Because if space, and it is, that article pointed out in Scientific American, if space is a code which we're decoding, then billions of light years, millions of light years, are meaningless. Because the whole of the night sky that we're looking at actually exists in that form in here.
In your head.
We decode the codes. So this universe does not have to be enormous. It can be quite small, because it's the perception that matters, not the reality. And I would say that the extraterrestrial interactions that have happened, that do happen, come from two directions. One is expressions of that force which is behind the matrix, and others who override the barriers to entering the matrix, to interact with humanity in a more benevolent way. But the prime ones are expressions of that which created the simulation. So the world is a very different place to the one that we think we're experiencing. It's all in here. It's
in
all
your
in
head.
Here, just like
in
the
your head,
of the
it keeps
internet,
pointing to your head.
As it's decoded, is inside this computer. And what the computer decodes is what goes on the screen. What we decode is what goes on our screen.
In our
but
head.
Just to finish on this point, that doesn't mean that we have to be under total control of some other force, because we're in a simulation. The point is, what are you connecting with? If you are going out there and connecting with the greater reality,
stargazing,
beyond the five senses, in other words, beyond the simulation, you're going in, you're connecting through here.
Through but heart space.
You don't have to be impacted by the simulation in the way that people are who are only here. Because when you're only in your five senses, you're in the world, you're in the simulation, and you are of the simulation because that's your only source of information to get a fix on reality. Mm-hmm. Like who you are, where we are, what's going on. But when you open this and you connect out there, you are in the simulation from a body point of view, but you are not of the simulation in terms of your perception of reality, because you're getting another point of observation, another point of radar. And also when you go beyond the simulation ceases to impact upon you in anything like the way it did before, because you are aware of the situation you face as opposed to being totally ignorant of it. And this is why the whole of human society, and we'll shut up now, the whole of human society has been structured to put people in a five sense perception of reality and to cut them off from the greater reality. They want to manipulate and control this point where the two connect, so that we become isolated, like in five sense bubbles, which they can then program with their control of information, the perception that they want us to have. And that has never, ever been more obvious than in
the simple layer about this new sun cycle, okay, is what is happening at the time we talk about, oh, there's a new moon. So what's happening in the sky is that we do not see the moon, period, right? And leading up to this point of the new moon, we might see the moon getting smaller. We see the representation, the vision of the moon getting smaller and smaller until, boom, it's like disappeared. It's gone. We can't see it. Okay? So what happens after the new moon? We see a crescent moon. And in a lot of cultures, that is also more significant. And so how I approach that is asking, well, why is that more significant? What are these hints telling us, right? We're like, we have to connect these dots. And so we're looking for as many dots as possible to figure it out. So for the new sun cycle, the first dot is there is not a visual moon in the sky, but there is the sun. And the sun, when we are conscious of the true position from our view as earthlings, we have now the technology to know that our sun is shining, because we can't see the stars unless there's an eclipse when the sun is shining. We know that that sun is shining, actually, in this case, not just in Pisces constellation, but it is interacting with the Cetus constellation and with a dwarf planet Eris as well, and with asteroid Ceres, and the stars of Pisces and the stars of Cetus. And the fact is that the stars of Cetus are more visible. They are brighter due to the distance from Earth and the magnitude than those of Pisces. And also because Cetus is the fourth largest constellation in the sky. And it starts at the beginning of Pisces, not all the way. It starts a little bit into the Pisces space, but it goes all the way into the space of Aries, and Aries shares space with Cetus, That's how it is. You know, there are some times when the stars of Cetus are closer to the sun than the stars of Pisces. And all the time, except for at the very end of Aries, for most of the time, the stars of Cetus are stronger in the stars in the sky to our sun. So there's a stronger interaction there. And what is happening in this new moon cycle is, first of all, it is not the same as the last new sun cycle. Did I say new moon? I might have. I get excited. So the previous new sun cycle, because I wasn't calling it sun cycle then, I was calling it moon cycle, because I'm waking up. If we're going to wake up, we won't be waking up every day. And so we can entertain this, but you know, it's just been coming for a while for me, actually, because I never did rituals. I never did. I was just like labeling. I was like following. What am I doing? I was like, I didn't even know there was another way. I did hear the moon matrix, but I am influenced by, like, I have to say, David Icke. Thank you, David Icke, for these things, because David Icke's been talking about these things for 20 years and saying crazy things, and now we're living in a time where all those crazy things are coming true. So I'm giving this man a lot of space in my thought process, not saying everything he says is true, but it's so mind expanding. And when your mind expands, then there's more space for more information. And no matter what happens, you become more conscious and more aware. And we also can practice detachment. And so by saying new sun cycle, it's my first movement of detachment. And I want to share it with you because I'm really excited about it. And, you know, the post I did about quoting David Icke is resonated with so many people. Then obviously, if we want to keep being connected, if we say we are one, it's true that when more things resonate with more people, that means there's some truth. Where there's smoke, there's fire, right? So that is really the first layer of calling this the new sun cycle. Okay, and of course, if you come to the Zoom gathering, I will be sharing all the other cycles. So I'm running out of time, I got so much to do. So what's happening in this new sun cycle that's different from the old sun cycle, which was exclusively this energy exchange between our day star and the stars of Pisces, okay? That's what's so powerful is that, and that was powerful for our sky astrology community, because we were having crazy dreams. Neptune is actually aligning with the stars of Pisces already. It hasn't been there for 164 years. And did you know that about 164 years ago, the Suez Canal was created? The business was created to make it, because it took like 10 years to make it, but they signed the papers a day before my birthday in like 1850 something. But it was like more or less where we are now with Neptune, more or less with the cycle where Neptune was at, you know, between the stars of Aquarius and Pisces. So these cycles are real. These energies between the stars are real. And it wasn't because the moon was there. It's because the sun's aligned. Okay? So the stars are day suns. So the stars of Pisces are like day stars, day suns, or star day stars that are suns in that constellation. And that's what I focus on a lot of time when I'm looking at energy. Really simple energy, hydrogen, helium, energy, like Nikola Tesla told us. So here we are again, where Neptune is coming back home. People are having amazing dreams. Like I'm having like parallel universe dreams. I haven't even had that many dreams. But yeah, across the board, it's great. And what's great is in our community, because we are all aware, because they hear every day, kind of like a song, you know, this is where the heavenly bodies are, that they, you know, it kind of, thank goodness, drowning out what I call false information. It is. It is not an information that can be used when you want to expand behind the beyond the five sense reality, period. Okay? So, because of that, there's been really amazing awakenings in my community, acknowledging what's been going on. So, this has been a really powerful space. This space is where, in Sky Astrology, it's the zero house. It is the house of the womb. In Western Sky Astrology, it's the 12th house. But we don't have a 12th house in Sky Astrology. We have a zero house, and we have a system, I don't like to call it system. I have a method that goes from house zero to house zero, because Sky Astrology is also about reincarnation, because that is what I experienced. Those are the tools I'm working with. I was able to prove mathematically and biologically and historically, imagine that, proof of reincarnation, which freaks people out. It freaked me out as well, but the maths don't lie. And thanks to the documentation of these lives that were experienced, whether in the ether, I don't know how it works, before me, I was able to connect that. So that's what the soul's journey, because the soul has many journeys. And so Sky Astrology is the one that is honoring that space holder, that zero house, where the soul prepares to come into this earth plane and do the soul journey, and also the soul work and the activities of the soul, and take this journey to have these experiences in the highest vibration of love, because without that, things can very quickly go downhill, because there's a lot of other energies in this earth plane, and I can say that after seeing it with my own eyes. So you see, I go off tangents a lot. So now we have this new sun cycle where we have the moon that we cannot see sharing the same alignment at a particular degree. They're at the same alignment with the stars in the sky, the sun, the moon is, as our sun. Okay? And the sun, the moon doesn't stay there that long. The moon moves 1 degree every 2 hours, but the sun is there for a whole day at this point, at this frequency. Okay? So, we also have very close by Venus, which is, Venus is also on the ecliptic line of our sun, because the moon is further away. The moon is, we know when the moon's really close to the sun, because that's when we in alignment, that's when we have the eclipses. But it is quite, it is the farthest away than all the other heavenly bodies, to be honest. I thought that was quite interesting, you know, besides, say, the asteroid, but I don't count them, because Eris is, like, pretty south. But Eris is part of this this new sun cycle. And the basically, the journey of our sun, Venus, and of course Mercury, and not to forget Neptune as well, in the womb space, all together now, aligning with the stars of Cetus in this journey, near the end of the journey actually of Pisces. And I always say it's important to acknowledge where the journey is. So what have you been creating in the womb? What have you been conscious of, not only in a kind of practical way, but in a spiritual way? in a non-material way. In times when you are listening to that inner voice, when you are doing what they say is so-called 12th house things like meditation, all these, you know, adjectives that describe 12th house are really similar to what's happening when you're in the womb space, right? In the isolation, in the womb, in as a water being, listening to the sound, feeling. I call it the cradle of intuition. What has your intuition told you in the last 28 or 29 days since March the 13th? Yeah, what have your dreams been telling you? I would so love to hear about that, because I believe, and I've had the experience, and so have a lot of people in my community, have had a lot of unusual dreams. And we give that significance when we acknowledge that, because Neptune isn't going anywhere for a while. It's just getting back home into the fish space. Okay? Actually, unfortunately, it's going to go out a little bit when it goes retrograde. And that's another point to make. We have all these vibrating at 3 degrees at the moment. Even the new sun cycle is vibrating at 30 degrees of Pisces, which is a 3. We have Pluto at 30 degrees of Sagittarius, and that is also the degree that Pluto will be going retrograde at very, very soon. We have actually the next new moon, new sun cycle will have the shadow period of Mercury retrograde, and then we will have retrograde of Pluto as well, and then Jupiter will be in changing elements and all kinds of things. So don't need to talk about that. But the other thing I want to talk about besides what is happening, so this is where the light is shining, and this is where we begin a new sun cycle, where the sun is going to be moving and journeying from this very powerful space of intuition and dreams and spiritual, which are non-physical vibrations and thoughts, into how to use these epiphanies, how to use the thought process that we had, or the drops, or the change of perspectives, or just the gut feelings, how to use the intuition in our lives, how to bring it into action, how to bring it into our head, because it's quite funny, the head of the sea dragon of Cetus is aligned with the stars of Aries, which is representative of the head, and the bottom part and the feet of the dragon are actually aligned with Pisces, which is the feet in Western or any other kind of theology. I think Santos speaks about the autonomy of the zodiac. Yeah, so when in this new sun cycle, what I say, when we start with the new sun cycle, you also learn today about, I don't use the word intentions, and you'll find out why. But what we're looking at is how are we going to co-create, right? The sun gives us light to co-create. The sun gives us light to see. You know, this is like really coming back to basics. What does the sun do for us? Oh, we can see when the sun's out, right? You can see clearly. We had a whole year 2020 see clearly. So now, as we are at the beginning of this year, of this celestial year from the spring equinox, right? It just doesn't stop. Oh, spring equinox over. What's next? No, we're still there. We're just getting started. And you can see the powers be getting started as well, right? So instead of like escaping in the dream, you know, we could turn that around. You know, one way dreams can be escapism, one way some dreams can be, wait a second, I smell a little something. My intuition tells me something's not right here. And it's coming out in a lot of different ways. But I go into that in my group because it is quite deep. I'm not the superficial kind of type, so I don't like just kind of wash over things. Okay, so basically, that's where we're starting, because Iris, in how I interpret it in People's Sky, is it's the bullshit detector. So, one thing for sure, if you are conscious of it, right? Where do you feel that you can sense some of the BS? Some of the things that don't make sense. Some of the things that kind of came with the territory of being an earthling. They said, oh, you know, there's a new moon, or, you know, do the moon rituals, do this, do that. That's what you do, and you just went along with it. How much of that is working for you, right? So, depending on where Iris is in your house, if you have a moment with me, which would be good exercise to do actually in the group workshops this week. So yeah, this is where we are as all earthlings, because you know what's going on is happening globally. Okay, so really globally is how we can respond, by just being aware of what's happening in the sky and connecting that to our heart space and to how our eyes process these images, which, if you know about how the brain works in the eyes, these images are in our heads already, because matter doesn't exist until we acknowledge it. Okay, so the last but not least thing that's happening, well, that's not the least, there's a couple other things. The main thing that's happening is that a lot of the heavenly bodies are aligned with very powerful stars, other day stars. Saturn is aligned with Aldebaran, whilst it's the first star in Aquarius, where Aquarius shares space with Capricorn, because Saturn is in Capricorn. And Jupiter is aligned with Saud, the luckiest of luckiest stars, supposedly, in at the end of Capricorn, and you know, already in Aquarius space. This space is also known as Capricornius space, because they do over interact. Well, Aquarius does more of the interaction into Capricorn space, almost half of it. So yeah, that is really good to know, because when Jupiter numero from the value system goes into Aquarius, it's not like a big shift. So, you know, there's no border, so it can use the earth energy of Capricorn and air together, which is, of course, a very important energy to be conscious of, so you can alchemize two elements that need the alchemists, need us, you, to be proactive, because does it happen on its own, air and earth interaction. And like I said, Neptune is aligned with the first stars of Pisces. Then we have our Sun and Moon aligned with Eris, with the stars of Pisces and Cetus, and also, which is quite far away, but it is a very, very bright star in the sky, and it's Alpheros' star in the Andromeda constellation. Then we have Uranus, also aligned with the brightest star in Aries, that's Hamal. And whoa, ho, ho, last but definitely not least, I did have something in my stories and Instagram about the anti-galactic center, which is where Mars is now. But not only that, Mars is aligned with Capella, one of our favorite brightest stars in the sky, It's so powerful for so many reasons. It's in the constellation of Auriga, but most importantly, it is in the galactic plane. And what's the galactic plane? It's basically when, if you're able or have you had the luck to see the Milky Way, it's in the milky part, right? It's where all the birth of stars are. It's where all the clouds, the nebula are. It's abundant in this space. And if you look at Capella in the Milky Way, in the galactic plane, as one of the brightest stars there, it is huge, hugely bright. It is aligned with Mars and is aligned with a star Elnaut, which is sharing constellation, is connected to Taurus and Auriga, which is quite interesting. But also, these stars are aligned with the stars of Orion, also extremely bright stars. And this alignment at this new sun cycle is with Bellatrix, okay, and Orion. And so it's very powerful. We want, because this is the arm, that the shoulder that shoots the arrow. Okay, so you ready to be a hunter, be, I call it, a seeker for justice? Keep asking questions and know why you're asking questions, because this is a very powerful part of the sky, always has been in so many different cultures, even in the religious things, and quite visually in the sky where all the beautiful nebulas are. This was also known as Heaven's Gate. This is also connected to why, you know, there is this alignment. Why, of course, the brightest stars, but, you know, like I'm talking about at the beginning of this conversation, which I'm about to end, how our ancestors used and created a celestial language. And one of the easiest one to create a language with is with the brightest stars. So what you'll learn and see in the sky is that we have different skies. So Chinese, they have their own constellation. That's their language, because they were like, oh, this star is, you know, what we understand is happening, is telling us this when we see the star in the night sky about what's happening on the earth plane. Okay, so that's why it's so impactful to give acknowledgement to these day stars, somewhere else day stars, but they are stars in our sky, and they are a very, very important part of sky astrology. So I hope you join us. I am so excited to share with you today about that, and I am also more excited to invite more people into our community and to have my first group workshop, so class, because I have finished my course, right? And that is, you know, you can do it one-to-one and then you can do it by yourself, but I haven't until now offered where a group of people can come and learn about these concepts, you know, together and at a price point that I think will be more available to people, because that shouldn't get in the way. I have to say, keep it real, if I didn't live in London, I would not have to have the price exchange that I have at the moment. So let's hope that gets better. Let's hope everything gets better. And I have to say goodbye to you on this plane and get on with playing some music. Now, I believe I can play like 30 seconds of a song without getting in any trouble. And so I'm going to play this song for you. Bye-bye. For the new sun cycle. Feels so good. Here comes the sun. It's all right. Yep, it's over. 30 seconds. Bye-bye. It's been a long, long, lonely winter. Happy celestial new year. We just getting started. Cheerio. Bye.